Good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulture, landscape designer, and garden author. Let's hear from John Denver. And the dirty word of the day is anthophagus. Anthophagus. And it's an animal or an insect that feeds on flowers. If you see a little bug nibbling on your rose petal, you can call it an anthophagus insect and impress everyone. The roots of anthophagus are Greek, anthos meaning flower, and words that end in phagos means a specific diet or way of eating. Anthophagous creatures are those that feed on flowers, which is true of humans in a very limited way, but it's also a way of life if you're a moth. An anthophagous diet might be the prettiest diet of all. So what kind of critters are anthophagous? Aphids, beetles and budworms, some caterpillars, lubber grasshoppers, moths, weevils and thrips, snails and slugs, and deer and rabbits. The University of Florida found that chili thrips that feed on flowers to control them require spraying and or drenching with a systemic insecticide. So make sure that thrips is on the label for any pesticides you use for them. Chemical controls for insects that feed on your flowers include Bonide systemic insect control, Bonide rose systemic drench, garden and insect and disease prevention for roses, flowers, and ornamentals, Captain Jack's dead bug brew, and high yield systemic insect spray, and Fertilome liquid systemic fungicide 2 also has a remedy for insects. So anthophagus, it sounds like a dirty word of the day, but it is eating flowers.
What a life that is.
Yeah, just going out and eating flowers.
The prettiest, just eating the prettiest food.
And this week I was at a house that was on the shoreline, and they had meadow beauties blooming, which is a beautiful, beautiful wildflower on a shoreline. That's a wetland indicator, wetland plant on the shores of the lake. And there were massive holes cut out of the meadow beauties petals. And it was not being eaten. Actually, what they were leaf cutter bees that had taken little pieces and strips, whole circles, like a hole puncher, and cut out the petal to create nests with. So can you imagine how pretty that meadow beauty, which is pink, really hot, hot pink, that nest that they're making, that leaf cutter bee, what their home looks like.
Hopefully their babies are colorblind, because that might hurt them.
the colorblind, the hot pink there. Yeah.
Yes.
So the dirty word of the day is anthophagus, and you try and use it in a word. And so that would be a word this week in a conversation that you can use. What kind of vegetables can you be planting right now? You can be planting amaranth, bonanito, calabaza, chayote, cherry tomatoes, Everglades tomatoes, dasheen, yakamas, and lima beans, and Seminole pumpkins. Dana at Quality Green Specialist Nursery. He has Seminole pumpkins growing there. They just grow right there near the parking lot, and they look wonderful. Sweet cassavas, sweet potatoes, and yard-long beans. And so herbs you can be planting right now, anise and basil and bay laurel, cardamom and chives, culantro, not cilantro. Cilantro is a little bit more cooler for the fall. Culantro, cumin and ginger and lemon balm, lemongrass and marjoram. Mint. How's your mint doing?
I literally pulled out a tractor bucket full out from underground.
Oh, my goodness.
I just died. It
loves your lot.
Yes.
Oregano, and you can be planting rosemary. They take the heat. Think of the Mediterranean countries. Mm-hmm. Rosemary and sage, turmeric, and time. And so you can be planting, you know, plants right now. Just make sure that they get the water they need as you're watering the hole where you're going to be planting your new plants. Make sure it gets watered first. Kind of let it drain and then fill it up again and then plant your plant in it. And make sure you're not planting it too deep because this is Florida. And even with all the sands we have hundreds of different types of sands. It will sink a little bit, so you don't want to plant it too deep, a little bit high, 1 to 2 inches higher in the mound. You can be planting in this heat. You just got to watch the, you know, the stress level, make sure it's getting enough water. And hopefully this week, fingers crossed, we are going to be getting some good rainfall. So coming up, would you like to double the, coming up next is Tony Smith with a way to take care of your lawn by remote control. Environmental robotics at its best. Stay tuned. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Tony Smith is the owner of Autolawn of Orlando, which is a robotic mowing service. Autolawn is on a mission to offer a clean, green, and quiet solution to maintaining America's lawns. Tony spent 30 years working for major corporations like Mobil Oil, Pepsi Bottling Group, Scholastic Book Fairs. When he left Scholastic, he opened the Autolawn Orlando business and was the recipient of the National 2020 Brand Advocate Award. He also has his own consulting business, Space, SPACE, Professional Services, LLC. He focuses on helping companies with strategy, project management, analytics, and customer experience. Good morning, Tony. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Teresa.
Your background experience revolves around understanding the changing marketplace and providing great customer service with current landscape trends. So the lawn maintenance business has seen tremendous changes over the last two decades. What are you seeing happening with homeowners who want to have low maintenance landscapes?
The biggest thing, and it kind of happened during the pandemic, is a lot of people were working from home. They spent more time in their yards and they wanted it quiet. So robotic mowing, you think of it as a Roomba for your yard. It's going to be out there working constantly, keeping your yard always mowed and looking beautiful at all times. And people just don't want a lot of other folks working on their yard. So it's the perfect solution at the perfect time.
Well, I will tell you that a lot of people don't have weeds in their lawn until they hire a landscape maintenance company. And these landscape maintenance companies go from yard to yard to yard, spreading weeds. And so that, to me, is just one of the benefits of this. But tell us a little bit more about the auto mower.
Yes, you hit on one of the key benefits, and that is the fact that that mower is dedicated to your property. Whether you bought the mower or you use our rental service, that mower is dedicated to your location. And that mower is going to be out there mowing, and it can mow 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So being that it's perfectly quiet, it's not going to upset your neighbors. It's not going to upset, you know, the neighborhood. And the mowers, they're battery operated. They go back to a charging station again. Think just like a Roomba. So when they need to get recharged, they just go automatically back to their charging station. They get recharged for about an hour, and then they come back out and go to work again.
Well, so how long does a battery last?
Typically, batteries are lasting anywhere between an hour to 4.5 hours. There's a lot of different makes and models, and they're all designed to be working constantly. So various models will last longer, and that basically just determines the capacity of lawn that they can handle.
So how do you program it? So the homeowner has it. What do you have to do to make sure that it does exactly your yard and doesn't mow the roses?
A great question. There's different types of robotic mowers. Some are wired and some are wireless. If they're wired, you think like a pet fence. There's a wire that's low voltage that goes in the ground, and then that helps the mower stay in the exact area that it's supposed to stay so it doesn't go off onto your neighbor's yard. if we're using wireless, we're using actually satellite technology to pinpoint the accuracy of the mower down to within an inch. So we do all the programming that's part of our service end of the business. You know, somebody that purchases or rents from us, we will install it, and then we train them on how to use their mower.
Okay, so what about uneven areas and garbage cans and irrigation systems? Irrigation systems get hit all the time by lawnmowers. How does the auto mower know what to do there?
Well, that is one of the beautiful things about the robotic mowers. One, because the width is fairly narrow, they can handle pretty much any unevenness in a yard. Whereas with regular mowers, you're going to get the scalping, and you get a yard to list, so it's really poor. With the robotic mowers, they handle all the unevenness. If there is a sprinkler that pops up, the robotic mowers will bump into a sprinkler and turn and go a different direction. They don't destroy the sprinkler like a regular piece of equipment. And because they're light, when you think of a mower that somebody's sitting on, it's probably, you know, the mower itself is probably 1,000+ pounds.
Yeah.
And you got the weight of the individual, and you drive over a sprinkler and you're going to crack it.
Yeah.
So these avoid that. And that's something definitely that the homeowners are definitely liking.
So can it mow any type of grass?
Yes, these mowers, they're designed, now depending upon the type of grass, whether it's a tall grass or a shorter grass, we may use a different model just because of the height difference, but we mow St. Augustine, Zoysia, Bermuda, Bahia. That's the typical grasses that we're seeing down here. Mm-hmm. You get up into some of the northern climates, you start seeing, you know, Kentucky bluegrass, fescues, and they can handle all of it.
So this can be sold anywhere or can be bought anywhere in the United States?
Yes. Yeah. These robotic mowers have been around, surprisingly, for about 30 years.
Really?
And yes, Europe was the big, adopters in the beginning. Recently, when I got into it 4 years ago, I had never heard of robotic mowing. I came across it in my research, and it just seemed like the perfect fit for my background and my interest and what I want to try to help people do here in Florida, which is have a beautiful looking lawn 24/7.
Well, I love that there's no noise and that it's environment. You're not smelling it. You're not having to change out, you know, spark plugs or anything that goes into a lawnmower. Do lawnmowers have spark plugs? I don't know about that.
Not robotic mowers.
No. So I just love that it's very environmentally sound. So so here's my other question. You're seeing it go along the road, just, you know, and it's mowing. Can someone just pick it up and just take it away? Can they steal it?
Well, you know what? They could certainly try. But there is most of these mowers, they have an alarm so that if the mower is lifted up and it's taken out of a balance situation, an alarm will go off. If that doesn't deter somebody, there is GPS inside of these mowers and you'll be able to track it. I personally, in my business, because I do a lot of rentals, and I have had some people try to steal them, and I've always found them with the assistance of the police. We take the GPS coordinates to them. And there's been some very interesting stories of finding those mowers.
Yeah, they said they were just walking along on their own and they just thought it was roving on its own and just picked it up.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we actually had one person who the mower was out mowing by the street. And, you get the folks who, pick up stuff along the streets that are set out on garbage day, and they picked it up, and the homeowner just happened to be driving into their driveway and kind of followed them and said, "Well, what are we doing?" But yeah, you had asked the question about the garbage cans and stuff. Some of these mowers even have obstacle avoidance, so they'll actually see objects. So if you left something out in the yard or you moved a chair out there, mm-hmm. it'll see that and it'll go around it. Some of the mowers even have camera systems on them that have artificial intelligence, and it'll recognize the border between the grass and a drop-off.
That is so cool. I love that. I can even see the outside feral cat sitting on the mower as it's going around the yard.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, so now go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we have actually had a sandhill crane protecting its little baby sandhill crane and actually pecked at the top of it, not knowing what it was.
So. Okay, so what kind of prices are we talking about to buy or to rent?
Yeah, so the typical property in the Orlando area is going to be about $2,500 installed for a homeowner. Because of the variety of properties, obviously we can range anywhere from a low end of about $1,500 up to a high end of $6,500, somebody who's got a huge property.
Right.
And from a rental perspective, the typical homeowner is looking at $100 for renting one. And when you think of that compared to what you're paying a monthly lawn service,
if you use
a monthly lawn service, it is definitely in the range of current mowing techniques.
It could really. I mean, you're going to spend anywhere from $150, $200 for a small lot up to $400, $500 a month in lawn services. So that definitely would be in the price range. So how can our listeners find out more about Auto Lawn of Orlando?
Yes, you can reach me directly at 407-340-3377 or email me at tonys@autolawnoforlando.com. And you can also visit our website at autolawnoforlando.com.
Okay.
And we do come out and give a free estimate. We have a free property assessment to anybody that's interested in looking at these mowers to help them have a beautiful lawn.
That's wonderful. Now, you talked a little bit about buying, but also renting. What is the difference between what do you get when you rent one?
Yeah, so people like the rental for the fact that if something happens with the mower and for whatever reason it's not operating, if we are not able to get that up and going within 48 hours, we actually just bring you a different mower so that you keep your lawn mowed. And in addition, you get built into the pricing our maintenance service. These things do require change of blades every 12 weeks. We do a diagnostics inspection. We update the firmware and we clean the mower. And we also offer that to people who want to buy it. We also offer that service.
That's pretty cool. I really like that. So go ahead and give your website again, Tony, and people can get a hold of you, because I really think this is one of the best ways to help the environment.
Yeah. So the website again is autolawnoforlando.com. And if you want to get me immediately, then 407-340-3377.
Thank you so much, Tony, for joining me this morning. I think it's a fabulous idea, and it's time it's come. I think we really should be doing a little bit more with robotics, and it's pretty cool. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for the time, Chris.
All right. Take care. That's Tony Smith with Auto Lawn of Orlando.
And what I think is cool about that is I know that us as a construction company, we run into, you can't start doing this because your equipment's so noisy till like 7 a.m. or whatever. You work late or whatever, you can actually come in and you can just go ahead and start mowing while you're sleeping.
It's pretty cool. No gas, no fumes, no smell, no noise. I think it's perfect. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We have plenty of time now to take your gardening questions. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And Peterson's Nursery is having a pruning class today on a lecture on how to prune your plants properly. And so you can make sure you get out there to Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland at 9:30. So we appreciate that. If you'd like to get a hold of Tony Smith, we'd really like to thank him because it's an exceptional product. I love the concept and think it's time has come. You can get a hold of him at Auto Lawn of Orlando. That's his website, autolawnoforlando.com. And then his phone number is 407 3377. 407-340-3377. And you can get a hold of him and find out a little bit more about Auto Lawn of Orlando. Now it's time to get your gardening questions in. Also, too, I wanted to say that the My Florida, My FWC, which is the My Florida Wildlife Conservation, Florida Fish and Wildlife Agency, is needing your help in spotting wild turkeys, not turkeys around Lizzie's home, but wild turkeys. So they're taking an annual survey right now. So if you see a wild turkey in your area, if you spot one, there is a form that you fill out, a complete survey to report turkey sightings, and we have it on Better Lawns and Gardens Facebook page. You can go to that. And you can also probably just Google My FWC Report a Turkey, and you can get to it. But they just need to know where they are. And I'm telling you, they're everywhere right now.
Oh,
Mount Dora, there's turkey, wild turkeys. Mm-hmm. Leesburg, Mount Verde, wild turkeys. And so...
Oh, yeah. I've passed a gazillion.
Yeah.
Just from here, from, you know, Sereno over here towards Orlando. I mean, just in spots that I never thought you would actually see a turkey hanging out. So...
Yeah, so they need to know that. So let My FWC know about your turkey sighting. So we appreciate that. 1-888-455-2967. If you're wanting to text, you can text us at 23680. And we can talk about that. So if you have any Easter lilies still in pots in your yard, and, you know, you can have pots. I do, with plants still in them. Lizzie, do you have plants that you need to plant?
Yeah, the pudding tree that you bought me. It's still sitting there. I'm so scared. I don't know where to put it.
Why? What?
I just don't know where to put it. I don't want to put it somewhere because I tend to kill off some of the stuff that you give me, and then I'm really sad. So,
well, the industry likes that because then you buy more. Sapote, you know what? It's small enough. You could just put it in a pot where you could see it, and then just keep, you know, watering, hand water it.
It's doing great there at the edge of my porch. It's
there,
like loving life.
Well, there you go. So it doesn't need
the
to be potted right now.
Dogs don't pee on it or anything. Yeah. It's like, yes.
There you go. We resolved that one. That's wonderful. And so, and so
you two can have your problem solved by Teresa. Just give us a call.
And so I love going out and just hiking in the woods, and I just seeing all the beautiful wildflowers coming up. I love to see wildflowers growing by the side of the road, all the various kinds, and they're just doing it right on their own. So this is the time of the year that if you would like to plant wildflowers in your yard, you need to buy the seeds now, but wait until the fall to plant them. The reason why is that it gets too wet in the summertime with our rainfall that it may rot the wildflower seeds. So we wait until October to plant them. But when you wait till October to plant them, trying to find them is very difficult. So you can buy your seeds now. You can go to the Florida Wildflower Foundation, and they have a spot with vendors who sell wildflower seeds. And make sure you get the wildflowers for Florida. Just looking for wildflower seeds from other areas or just Googling it, you may get wildflower seeds from another state, and they're not going to do as well. So you want to make sure that they're Florida native wildflowers.
Yes.
And you can do that by going to the Florida Association of Native Nurseries and or FloridaWildflowerFoundation.com. I think it's .com. Yeah, maybe .org. But just Google Florida Foundation, Wildflower Foundation. And you can get what's here.
Yes. Yeah. If I'm in a box store and I'm going to buy something new, if I go to another aisle and I see it's an actual Florida plant, but the other one looks exactly like it, but it's for another state, I go, oh, no. And I go over and I put it back because I want Florida base because I know it's going to last in Florida and live.
Exactly. And you don't want to introduce a species here that's not native to the state. And that's how we got the phlox, that beautiful pink phlox that goes all up and down the roads. That's from Texas. And it is not...
Texas, come get your stuff.
Yeah. and it's not a Florida native. Let's go to Jane in Tallahassee. Good morning, Jane. How are you?
I'm just fine, thank you. I have a five-year-old crepe myrtle tree. Mm-hmm. And it is losing all of its bark.
Mm-hmm. You say that like it's a bad thing.
I don't know. It seems strange that it would all of a sudden lose its bark.
No, it's at the age where it's established, it's grown, it's mature, and the bark falls off. Is it kind of orangey underneath?
No.
Is it whitish tan?
It's whitish tan underneath.
Okay, so that's normal. The bark will fall off as it starts to get older, and it just will peel off, and it's fine and it's normal.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate your help.
It's an unusual feature of the crepe myrtle. Not all crepe myrtles do that, but there are several varieties. One is a whitish tan color, and then the other bark is called cinnamon bark. And so you have one of those two varieties there.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jane. Thank you for calling. See, that was very easy, and Jane was very good.
And she's very patient, too.
She was.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. So that's wonderful. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680.
You know what other tree that I like that actually sheds is the white birch tree up in New England.
Yes, but do you know that the river birch is native to Florida too?
What?
It will grow here too as well. River birches are gorgeous.
I'm going to go get one now.
Yeah, and so you can get them. The one for Florida is called Heritage. And it does real well. It loves to be near shorelines or lakes or kind of, you know, wet soil areas.
Or Lizzie's property.
Or Lizzie's property, too. And the bark does peel off of it, yeah.
Because I love that. Because whenever my parents got to the point where they couldn't drive and they would still go to New England, you know, I would drive them up there, fly home, and then fly up at the end of summer / September-ish. Mm-hmm. And I would love it because the property that they used to own had it. And I would just go by and pick up pieces of this white bark. And I'm like, this is so gorgeous. So,
Yes. So the river birches is native to Florida, more North Florida, Central Florida, North Florida. But they do like it to be a little bit moist. So, Okay. Yeah, that'll be great. I would love to do that. I love designing with them. Buy them in threes, Lizzie. So you'll have to buy them in threes. They look much better. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. It must be Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins. We've got 15 more minutes left. You can give us a call. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and you can give me a gardening question. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And a perfect text is your name and your location, so I know exactly how to diagnose or answer your question correctly. That would be really helpful. If you've missed any of our shows in the past or today, you can go back and go to iHeartRadio. You can go to betterlawns.com and listen to it. Or anywhere where you hear podcasts, just Google Better Lawns and Gardens and your podcast and you can find it.
Yes, and also the texting line, we are unable to see photos. So if they need to email you a picture of what they're wanting to send, then
yes.
How do they get a hold of you, Teresa?
They can email me at teresa.watkins@live.com, or they can go to my website, she-consulting.com. She-consulting.com. So Myra went to our Facebook page and she asked a great question. She has a beautiful picture of a night blooming cereus, Queen of the Night. Have you seen a night blooming cereus?
No, but I'm thinking about doing this night gardening thing
next
year.
Yes, it's beautiful and it's so fragrant. And she wants to know how to preserve it. Well, you can preserve flowers in a number of different ways. One of them, which is usually the easiest, is air drying. You just take, you know, you cut a bouquet of flowers, mm-hmm. and you wrap them together and you dry them in, and you hang them in a dry, dark area. And they will dry and they will stay, you know, completely intact. You could also preserve them by doing it in a microwave and drying them out in a microwave oven. But then you could also use silicone gel or sand, clean sand, and preserve them that way.
Okay.
But the queen of the night, the difficult thing about the queen of the night flower is it only lasts less than 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
And so then it just folds up. So what I suggest is that you cut it while it's open, but be ready to go, Myra, with your silica gel where you can keep it opened and have it in a kind of like a box. You put your silicon gel in it, lay your flower in, and then start to very gently put your silicon gel around it and just cover it completely for about 24 to 48 hours. And that should leave it open. And then there's also preservation kits you can get too as well, Myra. So maybe, you know, for your birthday or for Christmas, you can ask for a preservation kit so you can do it. But the queen of the night's going to be a little difficult because they fold up like immediately after they bloom. All right. So great question, though. Let's go to, so the theme song you use is a quality composition. One day they let it play and I heard most or all of the whole thing. Sometimes I wonder who wrote it. John Denver, I think, wrote it.
Scott, are you talking about the song Darren Dirty Word of the Day?
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Or are you talking about our intro and outro music?
I don't know.
Come on, Scott, text back.
Text us back, Scott. And I think you're talking about John Denver sings it. And I think he wrote it, too. I will check that out. I should know. I've been playing it for, 25 years. It was on my first show. I used it as the intro for my first show.
Okay.
In Your Backyard, which I did from
Be careful with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Somebody else calls this that another name, too, by accident.
So what am I doing wrong on my lilies? My peace lily is doing great, but the other two that are a different kind of lily, I forget what kind they are, looking good, but they look a little like they're dying. And so I don't know. So you want to, it's not John Denver. Okay, we'll have to look for it, the instrumental. So this is the beginning instrumental, so you'll have to ask the station where they get that one. So peace lilies, I didn't see a photograph, so I really can't tell what's going on with your peace lily without a photograph. So send it to me by email, teresa.watkins@live.com, and I'll discuss it next week on the air.
And Colette has one from Winter Haven. It says, please talk about planting a variety of fruit trees in a 30-foot by 30-foot area. What dwarf types and how far apart?
Wow. That's a lot of trees that I could describe. They're not necessarily dwarf, but you could keep citrus trees cut back. So the trees can get big, but if you prune them after they finish being harvested, the fruit harvested, you can keep them cut back. And so let me do this. I will talk about that next week. You want to stay tuned. Next week, I'll talk about dwarf fruit trees. And I'm going to write that down.
Well, and they can also go visit one of our sponsors at Peterson's Nursery that's near them.
Yes. I don't know if he has dwarf, though. So we'll talk about all the different varieties. So that's great. So, yeah. Then Pat from Melbourne, a perfect text message. I love it, Pat. Thank you so much. How many inches of water a week should an established Christmas palm get? And I would say 1.5 inches. That's all it needs. It doesn't need a lot of water. So basically during the summertime, if it's established, just the rainfall is all it needs. It doesn't need any more supplemental water. And you just want to make sure that, before you fertilize any time of the year, you want to make sure it's hydrated first. And so 1.5 inches, and during the winter time, and if it's at temperatures averaging, 55, 60 degrees, 70 degrees, then you don't need to water it at all. It will go weeks and weeks without having to be watered.
Like a camel in the desert.
Yes. Palm trees are very drought tolerant. There's none that need a lot of water. So salutations from Melbourne Beach. My avocado has a couple of baby avocados growing. Hooray! Very good. Applause. But not all of the tree has produced. Only the top areas look like, but has sprouted super healthy growth, just as you said last time. On the other hand, my papaya tree stopped flowering and has no fruit growing on it now. What's happened? So Melbourne Beach, I don't know. Did it have papayas? It should already be producing papayas now. So my question is, one, is it in full sun? Two, is it getting enough water because with this drought, it may not produce fruit. Okay, so water is very important to fruit trees. And so if it's not being irrigated during this drought, then that would be could be one of the reasons why the tree is not comfortable or doesn't have enough moisture to produce fruit, or the blossoms fell off and it didn't get pollinated. So, and then the other reason is that it's just stressed out. And why is it not stressed out? Are you fertilizing it to make sure it needs water? So when we're talking about fertilizing, we also need to balance that with water. You want to make sure that you're watering it correctly. So there's a number of different reasons why your papaya is not blooming. Your avocado trees, there's probably a little bit more avocado fruit on it than you think. You just may not be able to see it because it's green. So keep on doing what you're doing. It's working very well. And let's see, and this is my only answer. So I have a text that's... what happened? I'm trying to look at and read these text messages, and they're kind of old. So my lilac that I brought back 3 years ago from up north, she's all pretty and green. She's 3 years old now. She's really, really looking good, so I'm hoping that she stays good. I am going to keep my fingers crossed for you. Growing a lilac is not going to go well for you. It just can't take the humidity. So let me know how you do and see how long it lasts. That'll be interesting. That'll be a good science experiment, their gardening experience.
Yes, and Colette in Winter Haven says, thank you. I listen the second hour while I'm walking. So thank you for taking us with you. I absolutely love that.
Oh, that's wonderful. Do we get credit for walking with her?
Yeah, we burn some calories too. Mm-hmm, definitely.
And so I will talk about C in Winter Haven. I will talk about dwarf fruit trees later. So let me get here my mouse working. I love technology. There you go. So there you go. Wonderful. Excellent. So we'll find out all the answers for that next week. So we'll find out the instrumental question and the dwarf fruit trees. We'll get to that next week. I want to say a big thank you to Tony Smith for coming on and talking about his new robotic mower, Auto Lawn of Orlando. Thank you for that. I think that's a great environmental product.
Very interesting, definitely.
And it solves a lot of different issues with mowing lawns. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes. And I appreciate it. Lizzie, thank you. You're the best producer ever.
Thank you. And thank you to our listeners, because if it wasn't for our listeners, holy cheese and crackers, Teresa and I'd just be staring at each other, which, I mean, that's not a bad thing, but...
No, send me your picture of your peace, Lily, so I can say it. Big hi to Ira and Eileen, just checking on you guys out there. And we're going to be back next week with more of Better Lawns and Gardens and your gardening questions. If it's Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed anything, go to betterlawns.com and you can listen to us there. Go to the Facebook page, Better Lawns and Gardens, and Teresa updates with really cool pictures that she takes.